Without saying a word, Tommy Smith and John Carlos spoke volumes on October 16, 1968, at the Summer Olympics in Mexico City. After Smith won gold and Carlos won bronze in the 200-meter dash, they stood shoeless on the Olympic podium, wearing black socks and their pant legs rolled up, each bowing their heads and raising a gloved fist as the national anthem played as a tribute to their African-American heritage and a protest to the living conditions of minorities in the United States. Smith and Carlos never raced again. Tommy Smith is coming to the University of Nebraska on January 25th to speak during the MLK commemorative celebration in the Nebraska Union Centennial Room. It's hosted by the UNL Office of Diversity and Inclusion. And good listeners, it is my honor to have joining me today Tommy Smith on Lincoln Live. Welcome, sir, and thank you.
Thank you, Dale. It's nice to be here, voice here anyway, and I'm looking forward to coming there on the 25th to talk to some souls that might be a little chilly, but I think we're going to make it through just fine. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
You had just turned 24, 3 months before that historic day in Mexico City. Here in Lincoln, there will be 24-year-olds in the audience. Yeah. What will be your message to them, and what platforms do they have 55 years later to make a difference?
Yeah, you know, that's very interesting, and we all on God's earth here have a responsibility. I think I sit here maintaining self, also pride in who you are, and try to enhance your living condition standard by treating people like you would want to be treated, Dale. You know, 24 years old in my time was a major step in responsible social honesty, regardless of natural pressures that surround us today, including friendship and sacrifices. But I do believe hard work in my choice to move forward is no different from 24-year-olds today. So you have to make a choice, maintain your faith. Time will change, and you have to make a smart change because it's going to change. In fact, I used to talk to that person in the mirror a lot because I could not find a lot of people who talk like I thought a conversation of equity or education should go. So I talked to myself a lot, and it did me some good because I do remember those conversations in the mirror that propelled me forward with a smile on my face. So I enjoyed that. So young 24-year-olds, you're going to be 78 someday, and even older, God's will, and you'll have to make these choices as time goes. But make smart choices for oneself, because that's what you are. You are a self, and a self of your own, so be responsible for that. And like I said earlier, waiting to come to talk personally with you from the podium.
Born in Clarksville, Texas, the seventh of 12 kids. Your parents were migrant workers in Texas and California. Attending high school, you were voted most valuable athlete 3 years in a row in basketball, football, track, and field, earning a basketball scholarship with San Jose State. Yeah. I would like to understand from where your civil rights spark came. How did it grow?
Well, I saw as a child, I saw my parents work until they just could no longer work. In fact, if you didn't work or complaining when the word work came up, you would slowly perish because of lethargism and the word would simply pass you by. So civility or civil rights didn't meet the Smith family with an equal gesture. In fact, we fought inequality daily. In fact, my first book was titled Silent Gesture, depicting inequalities from those times. That's how we grew up, hard work in the field, loving each other, going to church, dealing with your faith, and like I said earlier, talking to that person in the mirror sometime, because there are those times when you have no one to talk to, so you have to rely on self preservations to move forward.
Tommy Smith coming to the University of Nebraska January 25th to speak during the MLK commemorative celebration in the Nebraska Union's Centennial Room. It's hosted by the UNL Office of Diversity and Inclusion. At San Jose State, both you and John Carlos were members of the OPHR. That was the Olympic Project Human Rights Group, and you wanted to boycott the Olympics. Can you explain why?
Well, you know, wanting to boycott and needing to do something that would propel the thought process of equality is two different things. That was a sacrifice we were willing to do, is a boycott to bring attention to the needs of America to change its ways or to think about changing its ways, or athletes for the first time taking the podium of any kind to voice their opinions. You know, before then, Dale, there were no type of stringent attitudinal confrontation for athletes to stand up, sacrifice a life or sacrifice something which they worked through their lives for. And the Olympic Games for us was at a time when we needed to move forward. And the only thing that we persons at San Jose State could remind society and those families who were concerned was to make that sacrifice to the world to be heard. Again, silent gesture was another way of doing this, but we could no longer be silent. We had to do something in the open. And the Olympic Games was our way of making that choice. You know, there were instantaneous talk about a boycott. Sure, yes, a lot of athletes didn't want to boycott. I didn't want to boycott. My goodness, it was, like I said, it was a sacrifice. And there were certain things that we needed to talk about as a group of the OPHR and the Dr. Harry Edwards, who were the brainstorm of this movement, about athletes getting involved. And this was the only way that we could come up with. And I think it did something, because we're talking about it now in realistic terms, that did vie for an opportunity of our younger kids to move forward progressively.
So, and the boycott didn't happen. So were you relieved to some extent that it didn't happen and you were able to compete?
I was relieved because it was over. Mm. It had been going on for a year and a half. Talks, traveling, being ridiculed. And we were student athletes. We didn't have the time to talk about things which a normal thinking person would do, not in an academic situation. So, yes, I was very proud both that we had the chance. I was very proud that the boycott did not go through. There were things done that curtailed us from boycotting to make a change.
In 1967, the year before the Olympics, you said the Olympics should be free of politics. I would like to know, what did politics look like as an athlete in the 68 Games, which was described as the most politically charged Olympics since the 1936 Summer Games in Berlin?
Well, understand something. Let us understand something that most people might not know. The U.S. Chair of the U.S. Olympic Committee then was Avery Brundage, an American, of course, who became the leader or the president of the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee. And he had a background of racism even before 1968, even back in 1936, which he applauded Hitler for some of the things that Hitler did and believed in. So it was a lot more than people would understand about the 1936 game, especially the 1968 Olympic Games. So it was a time for a change, and it was our sacrifice at least to make some sense out of the political ramifications of an Olympic game with and or without a politics. There's no way Olympic Games can be run, or anything now in this country could be run, without political enhancements moving forward. And we have to deal with those on a daily basis. You 24-year-olds, we have to do this.
Your action on the podium, you and John Carlos, resulted in being expelled from the Games, suspended from the U.S. team. Neither of you ever ran again. Let's fast forward to 2019, U.S. Olympic Committee changing its mind, inducting both of you into the Olympic Hall of Fame. Tell me what that was like.
Well, that was something that had to come about, whether we would have been inducted or not. There were people around the country, in fact, around the world, wondered why the most powerful Olympic Games ever did not honor the athletes who made the sacrificing moves to make that historic Olympic Games. And that was only because of the hard work. The reason that we didn't get invited, because we stood up against a system which knew that wrong was in the way of progress. And we just wanted to make sure as possible, as young people, like I said earlier, you're 24-year-olds, you have a responsibility. The young folks back then needed something to move forward. The sacrifices of those who had gone so we could stand on a podium and raise our fists, not in hate, but in representation that we are proud and we will stand to our last breath, indicating that this is the greatest country in the world, and we wanted to make equality one of the words that we could live up to and abide by.
Tommy Smith, coming to the University of Nebraska, January 25th, speaking during the MLK commemorative celebration in the Nebraska Union Centennial Room. It's hosted by the UNL Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and I'm hearing that there's not a ticket available. It's a sold-out show, Mr. Smith. So.
Well, turn that temperature up to at least 50 degrees.
Okay. We'll see what we can do. Tommy Smith joining me on Lincoln Live.